Everybody. Yeah, Greg is progressing great, and with Ted and Reggie, what they've done has been excellent. So I think Greg, if we had to play, you know, Sunday, he could probably go. So, but we haven't done that with him this whole spring. We've kept his volume and his intensity really low just to be extra cautious. But, you know, a week after his surgery, he was in the training room, and he's lived in there ever since that day. So he's had a great off season with his rehab, then his training. And then when training camp starts, we'll, I would imagine, we'll be full speed. Yeah. Yeah, great call. You said so good for so long. It's crazy because I still look at him like just a young pup, still trying to learn and figure it out. But you know, he experiments with new types of punts, and this is what we do during the off season. And then he kind of narrows it down to a couple that he really likes, and he works on the basic ones that are, you know, true to every game that we punt in. And then he works on some of the unique punts that he's developed over the last couple of years, whether it's distance, direction, and accuracy, really, you know, and hang time. So there's really three elements to it: distance, hang time, and direction. And those three are a challenge to put all of them together with the different types of kicks he has. So there's plenty of them to work on. He doesn't just go out there and hit a punt right and a punt left and call it a day. He's pretty unique with what he attempts and gets pretty darn good at.
What did he do better this year than he did last year than he did the previous
year? Yeah, he developed a punt to his left that's a pretty significant distance kick, and we challenged him with the accuracy of it, and so he improved his punt to his left as far as the accuracy goes. That we asked him to do, and he's working on a few things, you know, for this coming season that we think he can get better at compared to the last couple of years. So he recognizes that there's still a lot of room for him to get better, which I know it might sound crazy or coach speak, but when you see the tape, he's like, oh man, gosh, I wish I could have two or three of those back in that last game. Yeah, you could sense that for sure, and I think the good part was there was zero complacency after what we thought was, you know, a good season. Maybe we thought it was a good season because of compared to the years past, but it was almost like the ante was even up just a little bit more, just with some new acquisitions, some confidence that the returners gained last year that we really didn't have from the years past. So it was, even though it's the second year, it still is kind of fresh because of some new bodies and a feeling of hope that, you know, pretty darn good. We just got to prove it.
How much did Les kind of set the standard for that lack of complacency, just given all the moves that he made?
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, when that happens, you know, you get new blood in here and everybody's challenged to figure the new systems out a little bit faster. And I think what Les is, you know, really great at is collaborating with the coaching staff, and I think everything that's done is an organizational decision, you know, unless, you know, listens to the coaches and the coaches trust less. And it's pretty unique and cool to sometimes just be in the room and just listen and be a part of without really, you know, maybe even having any say on anything. So it's fun to learn from and really fun to watch and glad to be a part of it, but you know, it's only on paper. We know what we got to do. Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, you think, you know, Coach McVay's energy and his knowledge, you know, and his ability to lead a room, you're like, got a shot. Let's go, man. You know, and that's a good feeling to have where it's super competitive. You know, you can't sit on your hands any day in a meeting or in your preparation. and there's just a feeling of, you know, we got to push and we got to go. We think we can be pretty good, and we just have to do it. It's a competitive classroom. It's a competitive staff room. It's a competitive practice field, and I think that helps everybody. Metrics, hope I can answer this right. Field position is a huge one for us. Is that maybe kind of what you're referring to? Yeah. When we kick it off or punt it, how significantly do we flip the field? You know, on a kickoff, where's the opponent drive start? After we punt it, how much did we net to knock them back? And then on the flip side of it, you know, when they punt us the ball, how can we limit their net punt yardage as best we can? And in the kickoff return game, how can we maximize our team drive start? So those are things that are pushed to the guys, you know, pretty hard in the special teams classroom, because our job is to set up the offense or the defense in a field position advantage when they take the field. So that would be one of many things, but that's a big one. It's a big one, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I root for those guys, and I tell them all the time, you know, when you come in as a rookie, whether you're undrafted or late draft, and you're a significant core special teams contributor, my goal is for you to accomplish your dream. If you want to be a career special teams guy, I love you. Great. It's a really good business. If you want Corey Littleton to be a starting linebacker someday, which means your special teams role is going to evaporate maybe completely, then that's great. You know, I'm so happy for Corey's opportunity. It does leave huge shoes to fill, because, you know, Corey was a really damn good special teams guy for us. Sorry. Samson Ebukam, you know, as a rookie, was a huge special teams contributor as a backup outside linebacker. Now it looks like he might have the opportunity to start. And I tell the guys, I couldn't be happier for you, you know, but my job is to get the next new young guys to fill those shoes, and that's part of my challenge and really what I like to do. You know, the special teams personnel door revolves crazy every year. Thank goodness it hasn't happened with our snapper, kicker, punter, but with the tacklers and blockers, you know, it revolves every year, and it's fun for me to, you know, every year is different, where you lose a couple guys, whether it's off the roster, like a Cody Davis, or you lose them from backup special teams guys to starters on O&D, and it's my job to make it happen.
So when the draft happens, you're looking at how many of these guys am I going to get?
Yeah, in my head I'm calculating, okay, we're losing probably Corey off, if not all four, at least, you know, three of them on the, you know, Samson, same thing. You know, a Josh Reynolds or a Blake Candles, all the guys that you really counted on last year. Okay, if they're now only two phase instead of four phase, who's going to jump in and fill those spots on those phases we're losing them on? And so that's kind of the puzzle that I try to piece together in my head. And I've always guessed wrong. It always changes once training camp starts, and you know, there's injuries and there's different things that happen where, you know, you're going with a plan and things change and got to figure it out. And that happens on game day too. Like last year, we're playing at Seattle, and we already declare our inactive, and then, you know, the first drive of the game, Mark Barron's knee, you know, kind of flares up, and so he can't go. And so Corey starts, and so, you know, with only 45 guys left, you know, we got to fill Corey's spots because, you know, he's starting. So it could happen where you could plan it out for a couple of weeks, or it could happen where you got to figure it out in about 20 seconds.
So when you get one of these rookies who probably started his college career as a special teams guy and then probably didn't do that,
yep.
And now you got to reappoint them, what's different for them about doing it on this level as opposed to doing it on that level 3 years?
Yeah, really two big things is teaching them the techniques of professional football special teams, which they haven't done because it's a totally different, you know, unique part of the game. Covering kicks isn't like playing, you know, defense as a linebacker, really. So teaching them the new techniques, and then also an equal part of it is the motivational factor, you know, where you come in, it's like back to being a freshman, guys. You know, you came to pro football, and everybody wants, I get it, to be a starting safety, linebacker, tight end, receiver, running back. but this is your role right now, and it's my job to not trick him to embrace it, but let him know that this is critical. Your role is critical. It's a great way for you to get yourself started in the NFL, and we'll see what happens from here. So it's an ability thing, and it's a motivational thing, but it is a challenge.
How have you kickoff rules impacted what you've had to do in this particular offseason program?
The kickoff rules not as much. The kickoff return rule is pretty significant. You know, kickoff, really the biggest thing is you can't get a run and start, and then you're bound by some formation restrictions. I don't think that's a big factor. But in the kickoff return game, when you got to have at least eight up, when you can't go two-man wedge, you know, you're looking at different schematics, different bodies doing it. And so, to me, the rule changes will have a little bit more of a factor teaching and implementing kickoff return than actual kickoff cover. But there will be schematics to covering kickoffs different than last year, probably just not as dramatic as KOR. And you might not see, you know, to the casual fan, a lot of nuances that are different, but there's some significant rule changes that are definitely a difference maker for us putting the game plan together, which are all great. Very happy with the changes that have been made.
How much do you think that will affect a guy like Farrow Cooper, who was so good in that role last year?
I don't think it'll affect Farrow, but it'll affect the guys blocking for him and what, you know, they're restricted to do and what they now have to do. There'll be some changes. To the returner, not so much. To the tacklers and blockers, yes. Yeah, that's a great one. It seems like the more exotic I try to get, the less successful it is. You know, you find a couple guys that are pretty darn good at naturally pass rushing or punt rushing, and you try to identify weaknesses in a punt protection schematic or personnel, and you try to attack maybe a guy or two. So it is a crazy one. You think it's a Star Wars game, but sometimes, you know, you mess yourself up more than anything.